Views expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of this station, its owners, staff, or management. The following paid program is sponsored by Azorian. Wondering who's in your cyberspace? Then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Charles Tendell Show, the show where you can learn how to protect your online business and personal information. Charles Tendell is a cybersecurity consultant and ethical hacker, and he's here to answer all of your cyber concerns.
What's up, everybody? It's Peter Boyles. It's 5 p.m. Get ready for Hacked. You got problems with computers, kids are being bullied, somebody's messing with you. How about dating online? Charles Tendell forgot more about computers than most people know. Get ready, ladies and gentlemen, here's Charles.
So, Mark Zuckerberg got hacked today, at least over the weekend. Welcome. This is the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690 AM. Good show, mostly because of the funny things that are going on. And according to the clock over my left shoulder, it is 5:07, so it's drive time. And yes, this is the Charles Tendell Show again on Denver's Money Talk 1690 AM. If you got questions, 303-632-4160. What we're going to be talking about today is, yes, the new headline. Mark Zuckerberg got his Twitter account hacked. And joining the conversation is Michael Daugherty. I'm sorry I messed up your name, Michael. I'll fix it again. The author of Devil Inside the Beltway. I've been trying to get over it, trying to get into reading this book. It's been sitting on my desk for a couple of days. So check him out. Michael Daugherty, The Devil Inside the Beltway. Michael, welcome to the Charles Tendell Show, sir.
Good to be back, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. So we've had some fun over the weekend, and I got your book. Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's cool.
I'm gonna flip through this and see what we've got, and it looks to be entertaining. The Devil Inside the Beltway. So you're still hanging out in D.C. with all the devils themselves?
Well, I'm there probably twice a month. I was just there for about 5 days, 2 weeks ago, and I was actually keynoting the Fraud and Breach Summit. So now I'm in Congress and keynoting and talking and writing, and you know, my life's changed a lot, but I'm trying to make lemonades out of the lemons that were handed to me. But the book's supposed to be, you know, infotainment, edutainment. You know, when I started writing it, I learned that to retain people's attention, regardless of what you're writing about, the most effective way is to put it in the form of a story. So
make it seem like it's not real.
But it's true. Yeah, and part of the problem is that this does seem so unreal. It's less unreal now because we seem to have one, you know, corruption issue after another and no one being held accountable. So I think it's more believable now. And there's been a lot more media on it, a lot more third-party analysis. National Journal and Business Week both wrote about it in the last 4 or 5 months. But, you know, when you say they're cheating and they're lying and they're incompetent, it does sound a little conspiracy theorist. Like, and so I've had to learn patience, which is my biggest weakness.
Oh, you and me both, man. So it's one of those things. Like I've spent my entire career trying to explain to people, hey, this is what security is, this is what's possible, this is where you could go, you know, completely wrong if you do something. And you know, it is like that. People are thinking you're crazy, people are thinking you're nuts, they're thinking, oh, you're just one of those guys that think the sky is falling all the time. And I'm trying to explain to you, hey, this is a problem and we should fix it. And you are in a similar environment, except yours has to do with politics.
Yeah, I feel like I'm screaming iceberg and everyone on the Titanic doesn't want to believe me, wants me just to shut up. And that really has changed since we won the case against the Federal Trade Commission. For those that don't know, I mean, basically, I owned a cancer detection center. It got hacked. The hacker didn't say it was hacked. He said he found our file out in cyberspace, and I wouldn't pay him for his remediation services to save us because my IT department didn't believe him. We just wanted him to go away. We didn't have time for this stuff. We're diagnosing cancer.
Right.
And he turned us over to the government, and the government started investigating us, and then the government acted like we were the bad guys, and we're coming at us hard and heavy, and we're ruining our reputation. And, you know, I was in a lose-lose situation that was going to kill the company either way, but I had to fight back so that people knew it wasn't true. So it's taken a lot longer, mm-hmm. but it's all validated now. Mm-hmm. And now the scary thing about it is, what do people do about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, what do we do? No one knows what to do. So sometimes some people don't want to know. Some people get really outraged, but some people don't know what to do, so they'd rather just pretend that there's no no man behind the wizard's curtain.
Well, and then sometimes people want to know when other when it happens to other people. So the headline over the weekend was Mark Zuckerberg got his Twitter account hacked because he happened to be in the database. I think it was over on Troy Hunt's website on haveibeenpwned.com. But he's in one of those databases, and his old, super old Twitter account, the password was in there. And actually, I think it was they found his LinkedIn, dehashed his LinkedIn password, and found out that the two passwords were the same, and went and started playing on his Twitter account. So it's what?
Well, I mean, this has happened to all these people at Homeland Security. I mean, you know, the White House and the State Department have had phishing.
Well, here's a question, though. Here's an easy one for you. Here's an easy one for you. So we're hearing about Mark Zuckerberg and his lack of password security, right? And it's kind of a joke. It's kind of one of those wake-up calls that the founder of the largest social media network on the planet got his password yanked out from under him and got his other social media account abused. Flip side. You know, everybody thinks this is a joke. Everybody thinks it's funny. I think it's ha-ha, Mark Zuckerberg this. No one's talking about Mark Zuckerberg being brought up on charges or anything crazy like that. Flip side, we've got Hillary Clinton, who got her email hacked using pretty much the exact same kind of thing, where it was phished, it was accessible, someone got access to their stuff, started mucking around a little bit, and it made a headline. So one's running for president, one's the founder of the biggest media or information gathering, you know, source on the planet. What makes, which one should we be more focused about? What does it say about our society that it's okay for Zuckerberg?
Oh, a lot of people think it's okay for Hillary. I mean, I'd say a lot of people think it's okay for both. A lot of it is the legal argument. Mm-hmm. You have a government employee who is under certain obligations, certain legal obligations and moral and ethical obligations. Then you've got a private enterprise. And it would be a credibility hit.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike, we're going to be up against our first break, so I don't want you to get too far off into that one. So we've got a lot of things to cover on this one. I am talking to Mike Daughtry about his new book and about Mark Zuckerberg getting hacked, all sorts of craziness. We're going to dive off into the Hillary Clinton world. There's a lot out there. Go to the CharlesTendaleShow.com. Subscribe to the podcast. Listen to the show live. Download the app. Do all of those wonderful things and stay connected to the show. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. We're going to continue down the path of Mark Zuckerberg and his Twitter account and why your passwords matter. This is the Charles Tendale Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Will your current career path lead you to financial independence? Stop worrying about working till you drop, losing your job, or retiring in poverty. It's simple. Register for our free passive income workshop and learn the 7 principles we use to provide for our families and run our businesses. We reveal the 5 reasons you should invest in real estate, and we show you how every dollar you invest in a piece of real estate makes you money 5 ways. It's time to get this life-changing information. Register today at mypassiveincomeworkshop.com. Stop making excuses. Go to mypassiveincomeworkshop.com.
You've all heard of fibromyalgia, the condition that amplifies painful sensations, fatigue, and mood swings. Tired of taking drugs that don't fix the problem? Well, Chronic Conditions Center of Colorado and Dr. Chris Steiner have created a program with no surgery, drugs, or injections, but with real results. Here's Crystal.
And I came to see Dr. Steiner for migraines, fibromyalgia. I have feeling back in my hands and feet. My vertigo has stopped. I'm not falling. Fibromyalgia has let up. The migraines are under control. Everything seems much better, and it is one of the best things I have ever done for myself.
Chronic Conditions Center of Colorado treats many types of chronic pain, and they have treatment programs for ADD and ADHD. Call Dr. Steiner at 303-660-2668 or visit them online at chronicconditionsco.com. That's chronicconditionsco.com.
Are you buying a car? Are you excited about wandering all over town to find it? Or looking forward to wasting time on national websites with cars for sale on some lot or backyard in New Jersey? Well, here's a local resource, ColoradoAutoMall.com. Before you waste one more dollar, one more gallon of gas, or one more minute of your time online, go to ColoradoAutoMall.com, where local dealers show their local inventory one click away. It's virtual, it's user-friendly, and it's loaded with cars, trucks, boats, RVs, and motorcycles, new and used, from local dealers. ColoradoAutoMall.com.
We now return to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
On this, the anniversary of D-Day, this is the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. If you're just joining, I'm talking to Michael Daughtry about his new book, The Devil Inside the Beltway, and... or maybe it's the other way. We're talking about Mark Zuckerberg and his Twitter account getting hacked because he used the same password on all of his accounts. And if you want to catch up on the show, you want to get past episodes, you want to get connected, you want to find out what you might have missed in the first 15 minutes, go to thecharlestendellshow.com, subscribe to the podcast, listen to the live stream over on KDMT, go into your favorite app store and download the 1690 KDMT app. You can listen to the show live, you can send me a text, you can actually get interactive, you can listen to the other personalities on the KDMT lineup. You got Connect and Collaborate, who's on right before me, you got Experience Pros early in the morning, and right after them, you've got the retirement jock, cool dude, actually sports theme for investment and your money. Good stuff to listen to out here on KDMT. But this is the Charles Tendell Show. And Mike, before the break, if you don't mind me calling you Mike, I don't know if we're on that level yet, but maybe we'll get there.
No, that's fine. I've got a lot worse.
Yeah, right. Before the break, we were getting into it about, so Zuckerberg got hacked. People seem to not care. They think it's a joke. They think it's funny. They think it doesn't really illustrate anything, but we'll dive into why that's a big deal. And then on the other side, we got the same thing going on with Hillary, and some people are freaking out. Some people are saying, hey, this is not really a problem. We don't really care. She makes great presidential material.
Well, it reminds me of when the OPM breach hit, and four radio shows that week in the OPM breach. But that was the same time the Houston Astros got hacked by someone at the St. Louis Cardinals. I was on 15 of those shows that week.
Because it was that more important. News.
Right. So, to me, I kind of understand. Number one, the thing about cybersecurity is that it lays over everything. If you have a workstation... now you have to be an expert in cybersecurity, and most people aren't. You know, if I have a car, I don't have to be an expert auto mechanic. If I've got a stove, I don't have to be a Maytag repair person.
Mm-hmm.
So, but with cybersecurity, we have to have such a level of expertise. It's moving so fast, and people just don't, and they don't know what to do. We've gone from 5-6 years ago where, when the news about my company went, and they had 9,000 patients, and people were like, oh!
9,000. That was the big number then, right?
Oh yeah, 9,000. Now what? Anthem? What? 81 million?
Oh, you know, no. LinkedIn and Tumblr.
320 something.
Yeah, Tumblr recently was 427 million.
Right.
So, and actually, know, we're in the midst of something.
We get numb and dumb.
Yeah, we're in the midst of one that actually two of them that haven't really hit mainstream media yet. So TeamViewer also got hit. And people using it all over the world are watching their bank accounts get drained before their eyes with no real effort. And then, which also hasn't hit mainstream media yet and will probably, in the morning, maybe, Instagram got hacked over the weekend as well. They're in the middle of a hack right now where people are actually losing their accounts. And it was, to me, when I first heard it, I was like, this is nuts. This is insane. This is an epidemic, man. This is everybody and their brother getting hacked.
So you have the populace going, what are you going to do?
Right.
Oh, well. And then you've got the other issue over time. Like, okay, what are the damages really?
Yeah, that's the problem.
What's really going to happen? Mm-hmm. And who's vulnerable and what are the damages? And that's happened a lot in courts of saying, well, you know, you can get hacked, but there's no standing because you have no damages and we don't see many damages. And there are damages that go on. Where with Hillary, the issue is she's a much higher profile workstation. There's national security information there. So the severity is worse and the probability is higher. And the obligations being the Secretary of State are different. And people that did way less got punished way more.
Mm-hmm.
So those are different. Whereas, you know, Zuckerberg's a private company and it's like pop culture.
Well, I mean, it's...
I bet
And you're right. I mean, you said that it was people are complacent. They don't really care anymore. It's really a matter of what's going on. And even the Supreme Court is saying, you know, or courts are saying, what's the real damage here? But let's break apart the Zuckerberg thing. Okay, Zuckerberg, it's his old Twitter account. So what's the big deal? Nobody really cares. But let's walk that back one more. It wasn't his Twitter account was the focus. The account that was located was his LinkedIn or was one of his other social media accounts. And because he used that same password on another account, right? Because he used that same password on another account, they were able to gain access to it. And that account was at least pseudo active, and people paid attention. People were listening to that. People watched that. The damage could have been much larger. They could have sat there and not tried to make their presence known and turned right around and been like, hey, at real Donald Trump, I think you're an idiot. Like had that yeah, come right out of, you know, I think you're an idiot. I'm going to censor everything you say if you say it on Facebook. That would have made for a massive story, but they didn't take the opportunity to do that.
And still, but can you see if that really happened? You know, the person in my mind?
The
Saturday
world.
Night Live skit.
Right?
I mean, I still think people would have laughed their head off because everything's become such a caricature. And to, you know, again, it's kind of like, how many people really know? This is going to sound strange, but I bet you a lot of people don't know who Zuckerberg is. Just like when they do those TV things, they ask people on the street, who's the senator? Who's the vice president?
Yeah, they did that with Edward Snowden. Yeah.
Well, right. I mean, you know, there's a ton of people that just aren't engaged, and yet all those people have smartphones. Everyone's got smartphones.
And they're probably all on Facebook.
That's right.
They're probably all on Facebook.
This is the fascinating part about this whole time we're in right now, because we have that smartphone is an unbelievable amount of power. If you would have shown that smartphone to people that were loading the first IBM computer up on the jet in the 50s, that was so huge and so weak comparatively.
Wasn't it jets? They loaded the first IBM computer up on jets because it required two almost 747s to actually transport the complete components of this computer.
Unbelievable.
You know, and that's what's crazy is what most people don't realize is we've got more power in our little smartphones than the guys took to the moon, right? So it's like leaps and bounds ahead in technology. So why is the man who's in charge of the largest social media network, the largest source or the largest, most technological advanced thing of our time? Because you know that's going to happen, right? In 70 years, right? In 70 years, there's going to be a class on Facebook. There's going to be it's going to be in the history books at a school somewhere about Facebook and this hopefully hacker epidemic that broke in the late or the early 21st century or whatever you want to call it. But he's going to make history. And for him to have lost control of one of his social media accounts, for him to have lost control of his technology, what does it say?
Oh, it just says, we're so far behind the curve, it's insane.
But
I mean, really, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, you know, it just shows things have moved so fast in such a short amount of time. And it's clear that when we were doing all this software development in the 80s and 90s, did any of us pay attention to security in that industry?
No, nobody even looked.
No.
You know, that's why
we just made it, threw it out, waited for feedback from the client.
And they're still doing it now. They're still in that mindset right now. Let's put it out there. Let's throw the technology out and just wait for somebody to come out and say, this is broken. Well, you can't really get away with that anymore.
And yet the other side of the coin is, well, what are we going to do? Sit here and have the government come at us and punish everybody?
Ooh.
That's not going to work either. This is a mathematical, scientific, factual issue. This is an algorithm. It really is. Science and technology are under the same roof, and you can't make cancer illegal. And you can't make these type of software programs perfect. But we will have to catch up. But the punitive dogma coming out of the government, which is the most unbelievable hypocrisy, by the way, also makes the problem worse because we've got so much brain power out in Silicon Valley. And with Snowden and many other people. Not just Snowden's just the name that shows, but really it's the whole phenomena of really brilliant tech people going in the government and going, God, these guys are dumb.
Well, that's the thing, and I've experienced that throughout my whole career, you know. And yeah, it is kind of embarrassing. Like you go in there and you're like, you know what, guys? Hey, that mom and pop, you know, private company down there, yeah, they run their email server a lot more efficiently than you do, and I don't understand why. You know, I had a whole show last week with Larry Bushy. He runs a podcast called Going Linux, and we talked about the benefits, the plus sides of using Linux and how it's user-friendly and easier customized and all that other high-speed stuff, and it led into, yeah, this is a free alternative that we could be using to run our government or run parts of our government, as opposed to the $60 billion a year it's going to take to run these Windows 3.1 and DOS 6.2 and old IBM mainframes that they're rocking these days and not really caring about keeping up.
Did you see that article about they're still using floppy drives?
Oh, yeah.
I guess I could believe that, but that's terrifying.
Oh yeah,
but it's a cult. Then you leave technology and you get into a whole organizational dynamic, the whole social science, social engineering, you know, dynamic of what happens when you've got this mega powerful entity called the U.S. government that has got centralized power and has spent a century, building in no accountability. And so you have
not building in no accountability, bolting on. We should say bolting on no accountability. I mean, it is. I mean, like let's use a car analogy, right? There's a Mustang sitting in my garage right now, right? And it was torn apart by its previous owner. It was torn apart, and all of these things were built back into it. That's not what's happened. The country hasn't been torn apart with things built back in it. It's been, this country was built on, look, smaller government, you're afraid of your people, not us being afraid of you. And the government, as it's gotten bigger, is like, let's add this ability. Let's add this part. Oh, it doesn't need this. Let's remove that. And it's picked and choose and bolted on this lack of accountability.
Because we've never been at the tipping point where we can see the mistakes, and now it's happening so fast. The last 10 years have seen it move in such, well, maybe 15 even. Because, I mean, this is not just an Obama administration issue. I mean, the U.S. government exploded, even with Reagan. I mean, it's explosion after explosion after explosion, besides, I don't care if it's Republican or Democrat. This mentality that government can solve it all is got to stop.
Well, it's not a government mentality. We need to clarify on that one. And I know we're diving off into a whole different tangent, and we're talking about Mark Zuckerberg, but the whole point is it's all interconnected. We run off down this angle. We run off down this train of the things that we aren't allowing our government to do. Who has this no accountability mentality? Who is the one that thinks they shouldn't be accountable? Is it the American people that think you shouldn't be accountable? I disagree. I think it is the American people.
I think it's the administrative state. I sound crazy, because the tree fell down on me. So I've spent so many researching this, which I didn't really understand before. But when I start my talks off, I start with this. I start with Woodrow Wilson in the early 20th century when they built the administrative state. And they wanted to have experts, not politicians, mm-hmm. managing the medical and the industrial revolution. The screw up was they didn't have a separation of powers.
Well, we're up against a break, so I'm gonna
another break.
Radio. What is crazy? These breaks are everywhere.
We're gonna dive back into this one as soon as we're back.
Aren't we? We're gonna have some fun with them. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Charles Tendell Show on 1690 on Denver's Money Talk 1690 AM. I'm talking to Mike Daughtry. We're having some fun with Zuckerberg and his email getting hacked. Don't go anywhere. This is the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
The Colorado Business Roundtable brings you Connect and Collaborate weekdays from 4 to 5 p.m. here on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 a.m. Hear from key leaders in Colorado's business community advocating for proactive business policies that strengthen the economy and help business grow and thrive in Colorado, as well as helping to make Colorado the best place to live now and for generations to come. Connect and Collaborate weekdays from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 and MoneyTalk1690.com.
Hi, my name is Phil Grandy of PhilsGang.com. You know, 2016 is upon us, and you got to learn how to make money when the market goes down. They always tell you, don't short. They try to scare you. No, that you try to make money when it's going down. That's how you make money. You would buy a car, would you, that just had forward and no reverse? Well, that's what Wall Street is selling you when they tell you not to short. Think about this. How can the market not go down? The market has gone up 200%, but the margin requirements, or the margins, the amount of money they borrowed, the investors, has gone up 700%. So investors borrowed 700%, increased their borrowing 700% to buy stock, but the market went up 200%. Are you kidding me? Are you nuts? That's called a bubble. That's why you join my gang and work with us in learning how to short a stock. It's so easy, so simple. Join my gang, PhilsGang.com now.
Go to PhilsGang.com or give us a call at 877-600-4264.
Point, click, bam! ColoradoAutoMall.com.
Did you hear the like super omnipresent tone of that guy's voice at the end?
Front Range dealer's inventory of new and used vehicles for the local shopper. Photos, descriptions, options, make, model, and body style. It's all there at ColoradoAutoMall.com. The research tool you need to find your next ride could not be easier to use. Your next ride is online and on sale at ColoradoAutoMall.com.
Now, back to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Monday. Welcome back to the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. You've got a question for me or my guest, 303-632-4160. Number again, 303-632-4160. Or go over to your favorite app store and download the 1690 KDMT app. You can text the show. You can listen to the live stream. You can check out all the other shows on the outstanding 1690 lineup, from Connect and Collaborate to Experience Pros to Jeff Thompson and his retirement jock show. All fantastic stuff. Local good people. Check them out in the 1690 KDMT app. Importantly, go over to the charlestendellshow.com. Click the subscribe button. You Facebook people, I'm pointing at you right now. Push the button. Go click the subscribe button and get updates on the show. Over the weekend, something new I tried called WTF America. It was the last podcast that was uploaded, so if you are subscribed, you heard it. I'd love your feedback on it. Tell me what it's like. Actually, Mike on the line talking about Mark Zuckerberg and his email. Mike, it's something you might like, because I went off on a tangent-ish about, well, as it sounds, WTF America. Like, really? Yeah. Come on. Because over the weekend, something crazy happened with Donald Trump, right? And I mean, that's no real surprise.
Another one?
Yeah, no real surprise there. But
which one? What do you do now?
This one was, he was giving a speech in a crowd, and he was describing an event that took place at a previous one.
Oh, African-American.
Yeah, and he said, look over here. Look at my African-American over here. And the internet exploded. Like, I woke up that morning, and, you know, I was trying really hard not to read Facebook. But I went and I looked and I saw the Facebook page, and everybody was talking about it. And everybody was like, how dare he talk about a brother like that, like he's possessed or something like that. And I'm like, wow, did you even listen? Did you get past the headline? Did you watch the video? Like, it's that easy. Watch the video. Like, he's talking about this guy being a good guy. He's talking about, hey, this guy's awesome. And that's like literally the next thing he says. But everybody jumped straight onto he's racist. And I was like, wow, damn.
Well, it's short attention span theater, and it's when you're doing, you know, they usually would do that on something written, but now they cut it out on just how you say something, and it dumbs down everyone, and it also makes everyone so cautious about their speech. And paradoxically, one of the things about Trump is he's such a glass breaker, and just because of his reputation already built and the awareness already built, he gets away with things that no one else can really get away with in that world. because people just expect it from him. It's like, oh, it's just Donald.
Well, no. See, that's what you would think.
Same thing with the judge.
Yeah, that's what you would think. But that's a whole other show, and maybe we'll get to that on like Friday or something.
Okay.
But that, or you know what? I'll have you come over and have you do a WTF America episode. It's much smaller. It's only like 30 minutes, but it's just a podcast, no commercials, crazy stuff like that. But you can check it out. It's over on thecharlestendellshow.com, and it's also out mm-hmm. there in iTunes. So subscribe to it. You can listen to it. And yeah, I'd love your opinion. I think that would be a ballistic show. About the crazy stuff. But so Zuckerberg, nobody cares. Hillary, everybody cares. Zuckerberg gets away with it, but he's a pioneer in a technology world, right? He's a pioneer in a technology world where you think he would be able to have positive control of his stuff. But he is allowed to pretend like he doesn't care because we're in a country where it looks like the government doesn't care.
I think it's multifaceted, and this is where. But I call it short attention span theater. I mean, it's several factors going on here, and a lot of it is the fact that I guess we have this culture. I don't understand. I mean, I'm 55, so I'm just hypothesizing here. But I just think people that are born with so many more conveniences, humans that are born with so many more conveniences, have a greater sense of just everything coming to them instead of you going out and getting it. And they take things for granted, which I think would be normal. If I had been born in a time where remote controls were normal and air conditioning was normal and all that was, but I was born in a time where an extra long phone cord was the luxury, and then we got push button phones and microwave ovens. So I've seen more of a change than maybe a lot of people have that are like 30 or below, and there's a lot of people that just don't have the frame of reference.
Mike, I'm going to give you a real world example of that. What was the phone called before the push button phones?
The rotary dial.
The rotary dial phone, right? I said that to my daughter, my oldest daughter. She can't pronounce rotary. And she has no idea what it is. It's like, oh no, I have failed you as a father.
They talked about their people that don't. I mean, they said Trump is using the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky story and the whole morality thing because a lot of people that are adult voting age right now don't know about that.
Well, it was.
It would be, it was the 90s, and it's 20 years ago. And if you're 25, you were three, or So I guess that makes sense, and then your parents aren't really going to bring it up. So who knows?
I guess it does have an expiration date, but the internet did exist then, so I bet you could still pull up the original story.
Sure, you could, but are you going to? And then how big is that stack of information?
Now that's the right question. Most people aren't going to, which is why, again, bringing it back around to the Facebook and to Zuckerberg getting hacked and this complacency, this not caring, and your statement of, what did you say? Short attention span theater?
Short attention span theater.
Yeah. Bringing it back around to that, no one's going to take the extra time to do the extra work, using
That's
easy
right.
stuff.
They're
like,
not.
You know,
I have this joke I say a lot of times. I said, if Shakespeare were alive today, he'd probably kill himself because he would have been told they're not interested in Romeo and Juliet unless he can get it in 140 characters.
Oh,
and the
man.
Problem is with all deep stories is you rip the heart out of things. And it also, here's the big problem. It makes us very, very vulnerable to corruption. Very vulnerable. Because everyone knows, no one's paying attention. And that combined with no investigative journalists anymore, because basically all the newspapers that are not national have no money for it, so they're just aggregators. There's no one protecting us, getting us the information that you build a foundation of trust on. Very few. And so my story got covered in Business Week, very in-depth, a month and a half ago, 7 years after a hack, a congressional investigation, the Justice Department, a whistleblower, the FBI raid, all those things had to happen before that got investigated. There's just such a pyramid, and there's so few people that can get to the top to get information. So we are really sensory overloaded, and you don't know who to believe. And so when that all happens, you just disengage.
Wow.
And I think that's the problem. I mean, we just disengage. We don't know what we're going to do about it. I'm just going back onto my daily life. So I'm going to have my, my earbuds in my ears, and I'm skipping down the lane, and that's your problem.
See, I mean, it's... I think it's also along the lines of there are no consequences any longer. You know, the consequences of everything that we do as individuals, as Americans, as people of this planet have gotten so far down the line of the consequences of our actions. And don't get me wrong, I've done some crazy stuff in my life and had some near misses, hopefully. And, you know, and I'm thankful for those, and I, you know, thank the Lord that they were near misses. But the thing about it is people don't think about the long-term ramifications of their actions, whether it be positive or negative. You're going to survive through this situation. Like, Zuckerberg gets his Twitter account hacked. Nobody cares. They're like, oh, yay, Zuckerberg. It was his Twitter, his Pinterest, and what was it? It was his Twitter, his Pinterest, and his LinkedIn account. And it all started because of his LinkedIn account. And because he used the same password for Pinterest and Twitter, everybody moved alarm. They were just like, oh yeah. And then this team out of, I think, Germany turned around and said, we got you, we hacked you, you know, here's all your information, oh, by the way. And I think they posted the comment on their page was something along the lines of, if you'd like to take your security seriously, or you'd like some help with your security, contact us. Now, what do you think is going to happen to these guys?
I'm not sure that they're going to get decent security.
Why?
It would be called the crapshoot. But I.
Well, no. Wait. If a professional, so you think that the guys, you think the guys that did it, the Our Mind Team 43, right? You think that these guys who did it, you think them offering him up a potential, you know, olive branch or a way for him to actually get better security, you think it's a crapshoot? You think they're not going to come through? You think they're the bad guys?
Well, it depends on the volume of people they're having to deal with. I mean, it's reactionary and more proactive, but I guess I'm on the wrong tangent on that. But I'm not sure it's going to be the solution when the cow's already out of the barn, so to speak. But.
Oh, okay, now I get it. So trying to fix the security after the fact is a bad idea, you know? But
well, I mean, you do the best of what you can. You know, and that's a step in the right direction, but
right.
It's not the full gamut.
Well, I mean, it is a step in the right direction. The problem comes down to Mark Zuckerberg. If you believe the documentary, you believe the things that he said in the background. Mark Zuckerberg is a hacker. He understands how the community works. He understands that when you get to a certain level, you're going to get attacked. That's just how the nature of the game. But he forgot about LinkedIn. He forgot about his other ones because he didn't really. It didn't matter to him. There was nothing in him that he was worried about using. But it's all about the connection they use.
Well, just think, if you're a billionaire now and you're building Facebook, I mean, you know what? You forget the little things.
You do.
You get insulated.
You do. And you know
what?
You
do. I mean,
Mark, we're up against one more break. We're up against the break again, so don't go anywhere. This is the Charles Tendale Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Can you hear your garage door shake, rattle, and roll throughout your home every single time it goes up or goes down? Hi, this is Dave Logan. I talked to Don at Don's Garage Door about this problem, and they have new garage door systems that are really quiet. Now, I've used Don's Garage Doors in my house, found them to be knowledgeable and fairly priced. They're great. You should call them at 303-794-0604. 303-794-0604, or check out donsgaragedoors.com. Hi, this is Dave Logan for Don's Garage Doors. You know, putting in a new garage door not only increases the curb appeal of your home, but it also makes it easier to sell. I was talking to Don the other day, and he told me it's the best investment, dollar for dollar, that you can make in your home. All I know is that I've had Don's Garage Door out to my home, and I trust him. Great work at a great price. Call Don's Garage Door today at 303-794-0604, or you can check him out at donsgaragedoors.com.
This is Jeff Thompson, the retirement jock and investment advisor and financial planner for J.F. Thompson Wealth Management. Please join me on Denver's Money Talk Radio as we chat about how to protect your investment portfolio and overall. So listen to me, Jeff Thompson, the retirement jock, 8 a.m. on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 a.m. KDMT, where I coach you on how money really works.
Jeff Thompson, the retirement jock, weekday mornings at 8 on KDMT.
This is Steve Replin, and I'd like to share a secret. No great business has ever succeeded without a great team. As a lawyer, a CPA, and a lender, I've advised more than 4,000 growing businesses just like yours. My system of fast-track business coaching integrates all of my skills for your business growth. To schedule a complimentary one-hour conversation to see how we can get your business on the fast track to growth, call me at 303-322-7919. That's 303-322-7919.
We now return to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Now, if anybody was watching the Facebook stream, don't hold me accountable for the head bob. It's all about more cowbell. Welcome back. This is the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. If you're just joining or you missed the first portion of the show, go over to thecharlestendellshow.com. Click the subscribe button. It's in iTunes. It's over on SoundCloud. It's everywhere. You can listen live to the show, and you can even go to your favorite app store and download the 1690 KDMT app and listen live there. You can just text the show. You can send me all kinds of stuff. You can even tweet me at Charles Tendell and get involved in the show. My guest today is Michael Daughtry. We're talking about Mark Zuckerberg and his insecurity, I guess. He got his LinkedIn hacked because he was a part of one of those larger breaches down the line earlier in the year, where LinkedIn lost 400 and some odd million user accounts. That information was decrypted and then used to get into his Twitter account eventually, and went out and they put up some fun tweets. And Mike, so before the break, we were talking about what these guys did. These guys came out and said, you know, you got hacked. You were in this. I can't believe you actually still use the same password. Maybe we can teach you about some cybersecurity stuff. And you're thinking that's a bad idea.
Well, I mean, I'm not thinking it's a bad idea. I'm thinking if you think it's going to fly, I kind of think to myself, okay, this is Zuckerberg. I mean, this guy is now a billionaire. He is a big-time company head. He's young, so people don't get – he's got all these layers. So when – and so he's got crisis management people. He's got reputation people.
Right.
And he's got these top pros. So here's the big thing. When you have a fire, which that can be a fire, the way to stop it from spreading, cut off the oxygen. So I think if he acknowledges it, then he's going to kind of, you know, because it's already done. So same thing when this whole thing happened with the with the conservative news feed. You know, he didn't fan it with. I'm not saying this is right, but I think it's what you get at the top levels of professional strategists and crisis management people. Mm-hmm. You know, he has this illusion. He didn't have an open press conference where everybody could come in and just ask questions. He had a remote meeting where people were invited, where it was private and no one, there were no reporters in the room per se that could report real specifically. Looks like he's really paying attention. I mean, I just think he's just gone totally corporate. And so, you know, that's the last, from his point of view now as a billionaire running this big thing, he's not going to worry about his credibility with the tech community when so many people that are using Facebook aren't technologically savvy in the least.
Ooh.
And I can figure that out because when I say something technological or political, I get like 5 clicks. When my dog gets up there, I get about 150.
Wow.
So that's sort of my armchair thing on that.
Okay. Well, I mean, it makes sense. He's catering to the crowd that pays the most attention to him or that he's fallen in with. But, you know, once you get that bug, I mean, true hackers, true real hackers, and this is what Zuckerberg has come out or has kind of portrayed himself to be over the years, and I'm hoping he is this person. Maybe I'm wrong. But true hackers, once you get that kind of bug, that itch, it never goes away. You see everything in the world as, that works great, but how can I make it work better for me? And that's
well, he does that to make billions of dollars, though. I don't know if he's going to worry about this too much because he's going to keep on trucking. I mean, true hackers are one thing, but true hackers that become billionaires and running Facebook, that's a different animal.
Yeah, that's like hackers with a badge, yeah.
Right. I mean, he sort of can, you know, have 10 DEF CONs at once and never appear, but he can do whatever he wants. But it's interesting to note that the biggest thing, really, I think, is trust. Mm-hmm. And credibility in the long run. Short run, but, you know, you take a few of these bullets. When do we think that we're at a plateau and we finally reach the end of the universe? I mean, that's a very dangerous attitude to have. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about Wang and Atari and all those early companies that went belly up, MySpace. You never know what the next thing will be. And mm-hmm. so these things might not impact him now in the short run or in the medium term, but they're out there for maybe a later date mm-hmm. if something else happens. But right now, you know, people's needs are, they like their Facebook, and they're not using their Facebook for deep, meaningful work. They're using their Facebook for social, you know, here's my dog, here's my cat, here's my family, here's what we did. It's a glorified photo album for most people, and they're making a bunch of money on it, selling advertising to those people. They watch where they go, what they look at, what they do.
I mean, that makes sense. It does.
On a very grand scale.
It's a sad reality that, yeah, once you get to a certain level, your alignments change with where your pocketbook is, and I guess it's always going to be that level. But one of the other things that this tracks back to, though, that I guess is a symbol that he has kind of lost his edge there, is, do you know what his password was that actually got used? It was da da da. Like, wow.
I know. Reverse psychology. Who in the million years would think that would be Zuckerberg's password?
Exactly. It was like, and you know when these guys, because what they had to do was they had to go and decrypt the hashes, though. So they had this long string of 25, 30, however many characters it is,
right.
The ridiculous number of characters for the people out there. But they had to go and decrypt this. They had to go through hash values. They had to actually crack this hash. And you know they did it like 6 times when it came out as da-da-da. You know they did. You know they were like, no, that's not right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's
not right. Something's broken. It can't be. This is Zuckerberg, right?
It can't be that way. Kind of probably brilliant. I don't know. At that point,
it looks like security by obscurity, him using this weak password. And it's something that, yeah, probably no one would ever guess. Like, you would expect it to be like Zuck 2019 alpha character special ASCII, whatever.
Lowercase, at least 10.
Yeah.
And changed every 90 days.
Every 90 days. And that brings it back around, is he stopped doing the correct thing. He stopped caring about his password security and came up with this weak one because it was easy to remember. It was fast. He probably was like, yeah, whatever, I'm never going to use this account again, because he didn't. The last, I think, tweet from this particular account was like in 2013 or something, which, you know, in internet world is like 300 years. But
That's right. But
he didn't care. So he used this weak password, or the password got expired and everything else. Now, there are two ways that he could have just been simple with fixing this. And one of them being the easiest way is something that he actually offers on his own website. And so does LinkedIn, and so does Twitter, and so does Instagram, and so does everywhere else, is two-factor authentication, right? You get a text message, you get a question, you get something sent to you so that you can additionally log in, but he didn't use it, which is what allowed the hackers to be able to get into his account. But
because he's busy.
Because he's busy.
Vulnerable.
Because he's busy. Because he's busy, and nobody thinks that he's vulnerable. And it's Mark Zuckerberg, right?
I can tell you, it's just a good thing he didn't have those nude photos some of these young kids do now. I think, what's going to happen when these kids are 50 or 60?
Oh, man. I'm going to love that when it happens. Like, I see now, and my daughter, right? My daughter and I had this whole conversation about what is an appropriate selfie. Right. And she was embarrassed because she didn't want to talk to dad about it. So she told my wife about it. And she said, you know, what is an appropriate selfie? And she said, anything from the neck up. And I said, I love you. Anything from the neck up.
Well, it's true, because you look at, I mean, there's this fraternity got shut down because they did something terrible, and it was all on iPhones and recorded. And
it was everywhere.
I called a friend of mine. I said, you are so lucky these products did not exist. You'd be in jail right now. He goes, oh, no kidding. Mm-hmm. No kidding. And there's kids to see that. Who wants to have their, you know, 18 to 25-year-old life on a permanent record to haunt you forever? No. This is the reason why we have strong. If that doesn't motivate you to have two-factor authentication and to change your password, nothing will.
Or how about this? How about this? In Zuckerberg's case, his accounts got hacked. What would have happened if these guys had used it to direct message, say, Ellen or the president of the United States, the POTUS one? Like, what if he had used it to pivot to someone bigger? And that's the scary part. That's the moral of the story. Use secure passwords. Be a little more secure in everything that you're doing because you don't know who's down the line. Well, Mike, I'm coming up to the end of my show, and I've got your book in my hand, so the people on Facebook are actually seeing the cover of your book, The Devil Inside the Beltway, right? So I say hi to the Facebook people.
Hello, Facebook people. And notice that one eye is red, one eye is blue, because we're going nonpartisan here.
Oh, man, I didn't notice that. It's red and blue, and it kind of looks like a superhero behind there.
Yeah, like it's supposed to be the devil kind of piercing through us.
Oh, because you're going to have to make the horns more pronounced. So take it back, it's not
there
a superhero.
No,
make sure it's not a superhero. So, Michael, tell everybody about your book, how they can get it, how they can keep up with what you have going on.
Okay. Well, the book is The Devil Inside the Beltway, and it's the best place is Amazon, folks. I mean, you can get it at iTunes as well and Barnes & Noble, but Amazon has hardcover, softcover, ebook, and audiobook, and the ebook just went on sale again for $5.99. down from $9.99, and then the website's thedevilinsidethebeltway.com. If you're real wonky and you want to learn about what happens when the government totally screws up and someone fights back and how terrifyingly incompetent these lawyers are in technology, just read some of the transcripts on my website, and it will blow your mind.
Wow.
But if you like to live in Never Never Land, you might not want to go there. Read the book then first. It's written like a novel, so it'll edutain you.
Edutainment. I love it. Love it. Well,
yeah,
Michael,
I'll make you laugh, and it's sarcastic, and I say terrible things about some people, and I'm very frank, and so people like it.
All right. Well, Michael, as always, it is fantastic having you on the show, and I will definitely have it done again. We will talk again more and hopefully get you over on WTF America, where there is no little red button that my producer likes to push if something naughty is said. So you can check that one out again, thecharlestendaleshow.com, WTF America. So check that one out. But Michael, thank you for being on the show again, man.
All right, good talking to you. Take care.
Have a good one. So leaving us, Michael Daughtry, check out his book, The Devil Inside the Beltway. Here, Facebook people, there's the video one more time. Check him out, The Devil Inside the Beltway, edutainment on hacking and the political system and the incompetence there. It's the end of the show, but today is kind of a somber day, right? This day in 1944, thousands of American soldiers died assaulting the beaches at Normandy on D-Day. And it's one of those things where these men were 19, 20. Some of them lied about their age, and they ended up in one of the bloodiest mass assaults in U.S. history. Inevitably, we were successful. Inevitably, we did win the war, and we did, we were victorious in the face of evil. But these young men volunteered to serve their country and stepped off that boat, even on the boats, on the planes, on the ships and everything going there. They knew what was coming. They were going up to this beach. They were listening to the explosions. They were listening to the bullets whiz by their heads. They were on their boats. They were throwing up overboard. There was all kinds of stuff out there, and there are hundreds of documentaries out there about it. I mean, you can go and watch things like Band of Brothers, which is not really a documentary, but there are hundreds of documentaries out there on this day. Guys my age, your age, my father's age, were out there fighting for their country because they swore to do it. So take some time today to pause and honor the men that died on that beach that day, because we just passed Memorial Day, and just because doesn't mean they should all be forgotten. This has been the Charles Tindall Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
KDMT Arvada, Denver. We're all about...